Hey, I'm Kenny Robinson, and this is number 0397 of the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it's coming to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0397. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, Kate McCallum and Adam Doolittle are back. They're former broadcasters who have spent the last year crossing the country living in an RV.
We towed our fifth wheel to Tofino, British Columbia in October.
Yeah, it was about 10,080 kilometers to be exact.
We're still learning things as we go along, but we have found over the past year that our fifth wheel really is our home. We haven't had really any kind of issues adjusting to a minimal lifestyle.
Natalie Davis, the program director of GDPR Nashville, one of the homes of the Stuff File program.
Me being a news junkie and an information purveyor and all of that, decided to put up an internet presence. But because I'm a radio junkie and I've been doing radio since I was a small child, I decided to use the technology in the form of a radio station where I could do what I wanted to do, I could play what I wanted to play, and I didn't have to worry about Big Brother over my shoulder saying, no, do this, no, do that, no, do the other.
Stuart Nullman is back with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nullman, and Book Banter takes a breathless, speedy journey with Lauren Graham, Gilmore Girls and back, with her book, Talking As Fast As I Can. So get ready to return to Stars Hollow, which is coming up soon on the Stuff File program.
And there's lots and lots of Stuff File news and, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later. The person who told you this was show number 0397 was comedian Kenny Robinson. A very funny stand-up. You can check out his website at kennyrobinson.com. Now, he tours around the country a lot, but if you're ever in the Toronto area, he also hosts Nubian Disciples of Prior, which is an all-black comedy review that takes place on the last Sunday night of each month, and that's at Yuck Yucks. You'll also find information about that on his website, which again is kennyrobinson.com. Thank you very much, Kenny, for taking the time to do the guest slate on this program, a program that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on all of you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Be a patron of the show and find out about our rewards program. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the Stuff File program and even some of your ideas for rewards. So come on, participate and join us for the ride. Visit patreon.com/thestufffileprogram and be part of Stuff File Nation. Okay, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Well, a deceased man got a bizarre and seductive send-off when women started twerking on his coffin. A video of the incident from South America shows mourners gathering to pay their respects to a man before he is laid to rest. While the wooden coffin was sitting on top of two motorcycles, women got on top and began twerking. Reggae music was blasting while the upbeat crowd seemed to be enjoying the show. At first, one woman began dancing and twerking on the coffin. A female onlooker grabbed the dancer's skirt, exposing her underwear. She then spanked the dancer's backside and threw water on her. A second woman in tight leggings, then joined her and also twerked on top of the coffin. Now, I took a look at this video, which, by the way, was either shot in Colombia or Venezuela, we're not quite sure. If anything can wake the dead, this would be it. Also, taking a look at the twerk action going on with these two ladies grinding on top of the casket, I'm beginning to think that the guy in the coffin must have been really, really, really popular with the ladies. I'm just guessing. Okay, about 3 years ago, the city of Springfield, Florida, switched its website address from .org to .gov. Now, everything seemed to be fine, until the old domain expired and the city started getting complaints. Instead of a notice about the new website or city information, people going to the old address saw a Japanese adult site. "We have no control over that," said Mayor Ralph Hammond. "We're getting accused of placing that site out there, but the city of Springfield has nothing to do with it." The city's IT department is trying to buy back the old domain. In the meantime, Hammond emphasized residents should not go to the old website for city-related business. Well, sounds like the website at the old address has more reliable service. You know, I often say that everything happens at Walmart, but this is a new one even for me. Walmart called an incident of two men riding horses through a Houston store a reckless stunt. Woody Fields recorded a video from atop his horse as he rode through the Walmart in Houston. The ride elicits many amazed looks from customers, especially young ones enamored of the horse. Now, I've seen this video, and the thing that catches my eye is that most of the shoppers don't even bat an eyelash. Is it common? Anyway, security personnel are seen in the video, but take no action to stop the man and his horse. Fields, who was joined inside the store by another man on a horse, told local news that he and the other man were going, quote, parking lot pimping when they decided on a whim to go inside the store. What the heck is parking lot pimping? Fields said the other man also had his horse inside the store for a time, and one of the equines relieved itself inside the store. Clean up on aisle 5! Yeah. I was just trying to make people smile and laugh, Fields said. I wasn't trying to hurt nobody and do anything destructive. It was just like you only live once, you know? Yeah, I know. The Houston Humane Society also released a statement about the incident. At minimum, riding a horse inside a store is incredibly irresponsible. This would be extremely stressful on any horse. The Humane Society of Houston urges all pet owners to think and act responsibly when it comes to the lives of animals in their care. Well, do stores now have to post signs outside, you know, no shoes, no shirt, no dogs, no horses? I'm just wondering. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, Pedro Villoria was working the morning shift at a Doral, Florida McDonald's when an off-duty Miami-Dade police officer pulled up to the drive-through window with her two children in the back. She paid for their meals, and when Villoria returned with their food, he found the woman wasn't breathing. The officer passed out and her foot slipped off the brake, so Villoria jumped through the drive-thru window to help with the rolling SUV. An off-duty paramedic alerted by the commotion jumped out of her car to assist the officer, while an off-duty Miami-Dade fire rescue member heard what was happening, grabbed his partner, and ran out to help. The group was able to revive the woman and take her to the hospital. I guess that's all in the line of off-duty, isn't it? Good thing no one was working that day, huh? Wow. Neat stuff. Anyway, let's get to our first guests here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, shall we? It was just under a year ago that we touched base with Kate McCallum and Adam Doolittle, two former broadcasters in Eastern Canada who, like so many of us in this business, got pink-slipped. We spoke to them last year because they were about to embark on a complete lifestyle change by hitting the road across Canada in an RV. Their website is fulltimecanada.ca, and I thought it would be a good idea to catch up with them and see how life has treated them. This time, we speak to them from the other side of the country. They join us on the line via Skype from British Columbia. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on the program once again. So when we spoke to you last, it was just last May, and you guys, I believe at the time, were in PEI. So now you're seeing the water coming in from the other side. I'm assuming that you traveled there via RV.
Yes, we did. We towed our fifth wheel to Tofino, British Columbia in October.
Yep, it was about 10,080 kilometers to be exact.
Wow. Now, when I spoke to you last, you were talking about what you planned to do and what you embarked upon or what you were going to embark upon. But of course, you hadn't done it yet. So Under the heading of If I Knew Then What I Know Now, what has the experience been like?
We still very much we're still learning things as we go along, but we have found over the past year that our fifth wheel really is our home. We haven't had really any kind of issues adjusting to a minimal lifestyle. We've been living in Tofino now since the end of October, and it rains a lot here. So, you know, we had to adjust to that a little bit because when we were in Prince Edward Island, we spent a lot of time outside. It's been a lot of fun, and we're just going to keep on going until it isn't fun.
How long, because you've been in Tofino since October, how long were you actually on the open road? How long did it take you to get there?
We were on the road for 36 days. We actually had planned to do it in a little bit less, but there were some weather issues along the way, which we figured we would encounter. In Jasper, we encountered snow around Thanksgiving, which we weren't anticipating or wanting. It was beautiful, though, but it made us stay there an extra day or two. And then we were stuck in Surrey, British Columbia, just outside of Vancouver, for about a week. We were only supposed to spend about a couple days there, but there was a super typhoon coming this way, so we couldn't take the risk of getting on a ferry and hitting Vancouver Island too soon. So we just waited that out a little bit. But overall, it took 35 or 36 days, yeah.
And how well thought out was your trip from the beginning? In other words, you're now in Tofino. That's where your base is right now. Was that always your plan, or did you figure things out along the way?
Yeah, Tofino was always our plan. We did have a itinerary of where we were going to stop and when we were going to stop along the way. And that changed a lot, especially once we started getting out of southern Ontario, once we started moving into northern Ontario. We just kind of played it by ear. We never had any bookings, per se, with where we were going to stay every night. So we kind of just went with where we could or where we wanted to go at that time. If we could follow our itinerary, we would. But if we had to deviate from it a little bit, we would as well. But it was a great experience.
Now, there are two of you. So were you always lockstep in the same thought process as to what you were going to do or where you're going to go next? Or have there been some disagreements about this along the way?
You know what? We're both kind of pretty easygoing. So I really let Adam do a lot of the planning in regards to where we would go, the route that we took, and I just kind of went with the flow with it. I really didn't, and I know that's not very exciting for anyone who's listening to say, I was trying to think, did we have any big arguments? I don't even think we did.
No, not at all. I mean, I think the biggest time we deviated from our plan was probably, we traveled just outside of Calgary to Cochrane, where we were actually going to stay and then kind of visit Calgary because it was close enough, but then we were just like, we don't want it. We kind of both agreed on that, though.
Yeah.
And then we went and explored like Drumheller and saw some of the Badlands and the Hoodoos, which if you've never heard about those, look those up on Google. They're pretty cool. Saw the world's largest T-Rex in Drumheller as well, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not a couple that really, gets into disputes very much. I mean, if we did, it really was just over something simple like, the dog not eating on time or something like that.
Okay, so now that you've done this, I mean, first of all, you're former broadcasters. I understand that you have been doing some broadcasting since you left your jobs or your jobs left you back in May, correct?
Yeah, it was, obviously never our intention to get back into radio. We were pretty well done with it. But when we came to Tofino here, a small town on the west coast of BC, there's only about 2,000, local residents here. There's a small community radio station, and we figured we would send out a a press release regarding our website and announcing that we are here in Tofino. You know, would you maybe like to do an interview or whatever? So the guy that runs the radio station had us in for an interview, and we talked about, you know, all sorts of things, including our broadcasting history. And then he's like, well, you know, I might need some people to, you know, fill in from when I'm away on the morning show and stuff like that. And he's like, would you, you know, maybe want to do that? And, you know, we hemmed and hawed about it, you know, because we really didn't want to do radio, but we kind of saw it as an opportunity to continue to do it, make a little bit of money from it, because it was a really stress-free situation. He's really easygoing. He says you can play whatever music you want to play, kind of talk about what you want to talk about. It's kind of what you dream about when you first get into radio and then never get the chance to do. So we did that off and on quite a bit now since November, I guess. Yeah,
Adam's done the majority of it because I've been working as a server at a local restaurant, and I'm also starting a business. So he's done the majority of it. I've just gone on a couple times with him on the morning show just to, you know, add some flavor.
What is the business you're starting, Kate?
We're trying to figure out ways to really, when we go to different places, not have to constantly be like, okay, now we got to get a job. One of us has to get a job. You know, what's it going to be? What are we going to do? That sort of thing. Because while that is fun, it can also be a little bit stressful. So we're trying to think of something, a home-based business that we could do. And
that allows for some passive income, basically. Yeah. So when we're on the road, we can still make income and not have to worry about it as much.
Right. So, you know, we went on a couple of food tours when we were going across Canada and really liked how much fun we had. And so we decided to start a food tour here in Tofino. And so we're planning it and should be starting on Mother's Day weekend, and got the restaurants on board. And it will be something that we might expand to other parts of Vancouver Island. Because we're always going to have British Columbia as our home base. Because in Canada, as you know, you have to have your one province that you live in for 5 to 6 months of the year in order to have your health care and that sort of thing. So, that's what we're doing is a food tour.
Now, as you mentioned, you sent a press release to the radio station in Tofino that you were on your way there. You received a lot of, certainly a fair amount of press when news broke that this is what you guys were doing last year. On your travels across the country, did you send any press releases to radio stations or television stations along the way? Because, you know, I mean, I'm talking to you right now. One thing we do love is talking to other broadcasters who sort of like break out from the pen, so to speak.
Yeah, we ended up basically before we left PEI, we put together massive list of, you know, some of the media outlets, radio, TV, newspaper, that kind of thing, that, for the communities that we'd be passing through. And we did a couple interviews throughout Canada. I know CTV in Winnipeg came and did a story with us. I did a story in my hometown when we were there as well. And there were some other ones kind of set up, but sometimes the timing just wouldn't work just because we were only there for a couple days or something.
One last question before I let you go, and you kind of already answered it, but I mean, you're not flying over the country, this vast country of ours. You're seeing it literally on the ground, a way that most people don't get a chance to do. So having experienced this journey across the country at your own pace, what caught your eye? What did you enjoy the most? What can you say about this country that most of us don't get to see or experience on a regular basis?
For me, you know what? I mean, everybody knows how awesome the Rockies are, and even BC. One thing that really caught me was how beautiful Northern Ontario was. A lot of people had told us, especially RVers, that if you're RVing and it's better to almost go through the northern U.S. states if you're traveling west rather than going up and around Ontario, which we didn't want to do because we wanted to see it. And we know what? We weren't disappointed at all. I mean, we were traveling right around well, it was middle of fall, so the colors on the trees were starting to change. We were traveling right along windy roads along Lake Superior and stuff, and it was beautiful. We saw all sorts of wildlife up there, bears and wolves, and it was incredible. So, I mean, that's the one spot that really kind of changed my opinion, I guess, or what other people's opinions of are. But I mean, we were
also told as well to that the prairies and that there's nothing to do in Manitoba or Saskatchewan, that it's boring, it's all flat. And you know, we're both kind of nerdy and we like birds, and we saw so many different birds in both Manitoba and Saskatchewan. We were so impressed with that. And also it is very beautiful, even the flatness and looking at all the grain elevators that reminded us of kind of like lighthouses in Prince Edward Island. So, you know, we had so many people tell us, oh, when you drive through Manitoba and Saskatchewan, it's so boring. But the other thing is that when you're driving with an RV through those two provinces, it's the sweetest drive because you're not going up any hills or anything like that. It's flat as can be. You don't spend as much money on gas. But, and we saw a lot of things in, like, we really liked Winnipeg. That's a really nice little city. And so those are just a couple of things that we noticed.
You guys, there's still a lot to see, though.
Yeah.
you guys are living the dream, living the life. People can find out more information by going to your website, which is fulltimecanada.ca. Kate and Adam, thank you very much for being on the program with us once again.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. We appreciate it.
Kate McCallum and Adam Doolittle. You can check out their website at fulltimecanada.ca. You can also follow them on Twitter at Fulltime Canada. And if you check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0397, you'll find links to their site. Also, if you want to go back to the show archives and check out Stuff File program number 0353 from May of 2016, you can hear the last time that they were on the show. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. You know, March is podcast month, and many podcasters, big and small, have banded together to tout their favorite shows. They're asking you to do the same. So list the shows you like to listen to on social media with the hashtag TryPod. That's TryPod. Here are some of mine. Every Friday with Dan and Olivia, featuring Dan Miles and Olivia Dabo. It's a fun show. Just don't mention Fleetwood Mac, Breeders, or Moist. The Spoon with Robbie Rist, Tom Bowers, and Chris Jackson. Eclective Fun. It's a fun chat show from three talented musicians and also actors and voice actors as well. A TV Guide Counselor podcast with Ken Reed. Great show. Recently, he had Bryce Beckham on from Mr. Belvedere fame. If you're a fan of nostalgic television of any kind, it's a good show to listen to. Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast is always fun. And the Sound Off podcast with Matt Kundle, which is a podcast about podcasting. Yeah, there you go. And about radio. Podcasting and radio. Both of them, basically. So there are just a few. What's your list? Share them online and get the podcast word out. Remember, use the hashtag TryPod.
A message from the American Podcast Council.
You and I know why podcasting is so wonderful, but in a recent survey, 45% of Americans indicated they're unaware of the term podcasting. Think about it. 45%. People just like you, living unaware. It's as if the term podcasting was just a word, like Folgenblurble, or Mockingturf, or Schleen. People in your community need help. All this month, we want you to find a friend, a relative, a curious stranger. Show them how to try podcasts. Then share your story on something called Twitter with the hashtag TryPod. That's TryPod. Together, we can delete podcast unawareness. Won't you help? That's TryPod.
Coming to you from Canada, the land of universal healthcare, colorful money, and the correct spelling of the word theater. This is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to the program director from GDPR Revolution 99. Plus, Stuart Nolman is in with another edition of Book Banter here on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio, and a show where you can become a patron of the program. Just go to patreon.com/thestufffileprogram and join us in making this show a listener-supported, fan-funded radio program bigger and better than ever. Well, let's get back to the stuff, shall we? A bank robber failed to get any money from a teller after a security guard realized that she was using a large water gun as her weapon. Amarillo, Texas police arrested 31-year-old LaShondra Denise Sandoval Martin after being accused of stealing a pickup truck and holding up a national bank. According to the criminal complaint, Sandoval Martin stole the pickup truck that a worker left running with the keys in the ignition, then drove to the National Bank. She walked into an area that is restricted to the public and pointed her water gun at a teller demanding cash. When a security guard walked into the room, Sandoval Martin pointed the water gun at him. That is when the security realized she was holding a large water gun. He attempted to detain her, but she managed to break free and ran out of the bank. Sandoval Martin was later apprehended and charged with aggravated robbery and the unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Well, there's an attempted bank robber whose plans were all wet. Yeah. Police in England carried out a controlled explosion on a suspicious car that was actually parked outside the station by an officer. Bomb disposal experts sealed off roads surrounding the building and conducted the explosion after an unattended Vauxhall Corsa was spotted outside of the Workington police station. After the explosion, police learned officers had parked the vehicle outside the station after helping its owner, who had taken ill. Police explained that overnight duty were concerned about suspicious objects in the vehicle, which were unexplained due to an internal communications error, according to the newspaper The Telegraph. Following the controlled explosion, the vehicle was searched and the suspicions were negated. Inspector Ashley Bennett said police contacted the vehicle's owner to issue an apology and added the incident will be investigated. We have made contact with the owner of the vehicle explaining the situation and have apologized to him, she said. The constabulary will review this incident and will take on board any learning. So, they've apologized for blowing up the car. Are they now paying for blowing up the car? That's what I want to know. That's what the guy who owns the car, I'm sure, would like to know, too. Anyway, an irate passenger on the RTD bus in Lakewood, Colorado, pulled a gun. The driver quickly stopped, ushered other passengers out, and called police. The man barricaded himself inside for a while before police persuaded him to drop the gun, come out, and surrender. The gun turned out to be a toy, and the man was arrested without incident. Another passenger says the unnamed man had been angry because the bus had been running late. And what a great solution he came up with, huh, for that minor irritation? I mean, please note that the pulling of a gun didn't exactly speed up the service. As a matter of fact, it did quite the opposite. This is not the movie Speed, pal. Wow. I don't think he'll be taking a bus for a while anyway. Wow. Daniel H. Jones was adamant about trying to hit the rooster, said Vincent Vero of Key West, Florida. Jones, who had come to the Keys from New Jersey, was driving a golf cart. He tried to hit the bird, but he just flipped the cart, I guess as opposed to flipping the bird. The cart rolled, ejecting him and two passengers. The passengers had minor injuries. Police said Jones stuck his fingers and his shirt in his mouth, but they still managed to test his blood alcohol level, which turned out to be thrice the legal limit. No word on the bird's alcohol consumption. He escaped unharmed. Well, we still don't know why the chicken was crossing the road, and we don't know why this moron was trying to hit it with a golf cart. Couldn't he have just let it play through? And we have one more Stuff File news story to share with you before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Now, as you know, Illinois has problems. A $130 billion unfunded pension crisis. That's billion with a B. 19 months without a budget, the lowest credit rating, and the highest property taxes in the country. And don't forget that murder rate. Got a very high murder rate in Chicago. However, at least the State House of Representatives is not standing by idly. In February, it moved to designate October 2017 as Zombie Preparedness Month, basically adding zombie invasion to the list of mobilizations for any natural disaster and urging residents to stockpile food and supplies for up to 72 hours. I don't have anything to add to this story. It pretty much stands on its own. I will say that it's good for a government to know its priorities. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? At the end of each show, you may often hear me mention the many places the Stuff File program can be heard. One of the locations is GDPR Revolution 99. GDPR stands for Grateful Dread Public Radio. It was originally started in Baltimore in 1996. The independent, listener-supported internet station is currently based in Nashville. That's where program director Natalie Davis can be found, and she joins us on the line right now. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being on the program with us.
So, glad to be here.
So tell me, I mentioned in the introduction that this started in Baltimore in 1996, and it's an internet radio station. So give us a little bit of the background from its beginnings and how it ended up in Nashville.
Oh, that's quite the story. I grew up in Baltimore, and as a matter of fact, just for the sake of honesty, I am sitting in Baltimore right now. I'm visiting my mother. So this is where I was. I was a career journalist, which I still am. And this was at the beginning of the age where everybody was starting to get a computer in their homes. Me being a news junkie and an information purveyor and all of that, decided to put up an internet presence. But because I'm a radio junkie and I've been doing radio since I was a small child, I decided to use the technology in the form of a radio station where I could do what I wanted to do, I could play what I wanted to play, and I didn't have to worry about Big Brother over my shoulder saying, no, do this, no, do that, no, do the other, and that ratings and advertisers were the king of everything that I did. So that's what I started to do. I created this entity, I guess we'll call it, and shopped for programs, produced my own programs, and just put it out there. And people started listening, and then more people started listening. And then we moved to the New York area, myself, my husband, and my kids. And it moved with us. And then 3 years ago, the marriage broke up, and I wanted to get as far away from him as possible. So I decided to strike one thing on my bucket list and move to Nashville and took it with me.
Wow.
And voila.
Now, there is certainly an eclectic mix of radio programs on GDPR, including the Stuff File program. First of all, where did the name GDPR come from, which is Grateful Dread Public Radio?
That actually came from the beginning days when I started tooling around on the internet. I everybody had a handle that they used on various bulletin board systems, message boards, whatever, and mine was Grateful Dread, and that was something that I had just happened upon. I've been a Grateful Dead fan for eons, since college, my God, and the name kind of attached itself to me just because of who I am. I try to live my life in a sense of gratitude, and I'm always in a little bit of dread.
Okay, so how many Grateful Dead concerts have you been to?
28.
Wow. See, I knew it was going to be a high number.
I engaged at one, yeah.
I'm sorry, you said what?
I got engaged at a
you
dead show.
Got yeah. engaged at one. You see, I knew there was going to be a high number. I had a producer in my old radio program who would take off at the drop of a hat. He actually now lives in Chicago, by the way. But my former producer used to go to Grateful Dead concerts at the drop of a hat. And So it's not something I necessarily understood, but he seemed like about 35.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, he's done quite a bit. Anyway, so I got you off track. So you created this radio station. As I said, you have a mix of radio shows on it. How do you decide what shows get to be on GDPR?
I have very stringent standards, Peter. Very stringent. Seriously, a lot of it comes out of the mission of the station. And from day one, I wanted to put out something that provided a diverse range of viewpoints and voices. Because working in mainstream media, as I have for 30-odd years, I was very, very disappointed with what I was seeing around me. Certain people were allowed to speak, certain people were not. Certain ideas were able to be discussed, certain others were ignored or maligned. Certain musical artists were allowed to be, you know, thrown into heavy rotation, and others just weren't given any airplay at all. And I wanted to upend that. So the first thing that I would look for was, what do they have to say, and is what they have to say or their art worth hearing by, you know, by a larger audience than it is? So that's the first criterion. Then I look at the quality of the offering itself. And if it speaks to me, then I go after it. Most of the things that we air, I have had in my lineup for many years. And then I find new things along the way that I hear, and they strike my interest, they make me happy, I find them fascinating, I find them hilarious, or I appreciate the host's take on life in general or whatever the subject matter is being discussed, and I go after them. That's how I found you.
Okay, now, one of the things about the Stuff File program is that it's on several radio stations, and ironically, it's on stations that cover a variety of spectrums. I have this show on stations that clearly lean to the right. If anybody went to your website, you will note that your station does not clearly lean to the right.
No.
There's no doubt whatsoever which way you lean when people go to the GDPR website. But again, not all the shows have to do with politics or one side of the spectrum or another. There are shows like mine that really don't have anything to do with politics. There's a show, I mean, you have my program on Mondays, what is it, at 4 p.m. Central?
That's right.
And there's a show that comes on right after me, with all about
words. Away with words.
Which I find absolutely fascinating. I've caught myself every once in a while just quickly listening to my show to see how it's playing out on your station, and then I get sucked into the vortex of the show that follows me, and I'm done for the next hour.
Isn't it great?
It's amazing, that show.
Mm-hmm. That was another one that I just happened to find and fell in love with, and because I love language, and I love words, and Martha Barnett and Grant Barrett, the hosts, are just, you can just feel the loveliness and the intelligence and the wit radiating from them. Not everything has to be about politics. And I honestly believe that those on the left and those on the right have more in common than they do differences. So I love to find things that are going to appeal to a broader audience than just progressives. Because I think everybody can love words, and everyone can love music. One of our really popular shows that we've been running for, I guess, a year and a half now, is a Broadway music show that we run every Sunday morning. Our Sunday is essentially given over to arts and culture programming. And there's no politics involved. It's just wonderfulness. And why not spread more wonderfulness in the world?
Absolutely. I know I didn't want to get political, but I will ask this question. You did say the fact that people on the right and people on the left have more in common than they don't. Does it dismay you right now that we are at a point in our world, and it's not necessarily that different here in Canada, where you have people on the right and people on the left, and they can't seem to understand each other? Like, each thinks there's something wrong with the other because they're of a different political spectrum. I don't recall it being that years ago. You have differences in your ideology, but you didn't think somebody was an idiot because they voted one way or the other.
That's very true. As many of my friends are Republicans, a lot of the reporting that I've done over the years has been in Republican, meaning right-wing sections of various areas of the United States. And I get along with everybody. Or I did until this, I call it Trump, Theresa May, Marine Le Pen phenomenon that just seems to be bursting into the world. Frankly, I don't think the dichotomy so much is left versus right, but it's about what people are willing to tolerate. Here in the United States, Trump is the issue, and he has become a dividing line between family members, between old friends. I actually have lost childhood friends over that. And that comes down to my thought, you know, if you're a Republican, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But if you tell me you're willing to tolerate a racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, narcissistic, admitted sexual predator, we're going to have problems. I think what it comes down to is humanity. And that the divide is how people see the world and people within it. If you embrace people with love and with empathy and compassion, that's great. Political differences, whatever, that's policy. We can talk about that. But if you are going to say that feeding seniors is an activity that produces no positive results, I don't know where to go with you.
And
I think the breakdown comes in over that, and I think Brexit could be described the same way.
Right. On that cheery note, I want to let
the
people.
This wonderful place.
I want to remind people that they can listen to Grateful Dread Public Radio GDPR, as we refer to it, GDPR Revolution 99. What is the website people can find it at?
We are at gdreadradio.net. That's a G-D-R-E-A-D radio.net.
Natalie, thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Thank you, Peter. This has been a blast. I love talking to you.
Natalie Davis, Program Director of GDPR Revolution 99. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is number 0397, and you'll find links to their site. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRico-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Over the years, we've learned that living in the most lawsuit-happy society on Earth imposes on American consumers what some experts have called a hidden lawsuit tax. It doesn't appear on the bills we get, but it's built into the cost of everything we buy, like groceries, clothes, and cars. That's not the only hidden tax paid by American consumers, though. There's also a regulatory hidden tax imposed by the government bureaucracy instead of the courts. According to the Competitive Enterprise Institute, the total cost of complying with all the federal regulations each year is $1.8 trillion. To put that into perspective, complying with all the regulations costs more than all the money the federal government collects from individual and corporate income taxes combined. Let's be fair. When we look at how large this hidden tax is, it's easy to see why regulatory reform has become such a big priority, not only in Washington, but in state capitals too. Learn more at centerforamericatv.org.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortunate if, for some unforeseen reason, You weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
Latitude, 47 degrees, 14 minutes north. Longitude, 84 degrees, 39 minutes west. Location, Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nolman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And Stuart Nolman is here once again to answer the very pressing question, if someone whose last name is Graham tells funny jokes, would those be called Graham crackers?
No, they wouldn't be. But if they had, you know, melted chocolate and marshmallows, you know, there's some more where that came from, and we'd be talking after that.
Okay.
You ever try talking with hot gooey marshmallows, graham crackers, and chocolate in your mouth?
I've never put any of those elements in my mouth in the first place, so there would not be a need to try and talk. That's just never happening.
Okay. Well, you know, in this edition of Book Banter, we're not going to talk about those kind of graham crackers that a lot of, you know, that we loved for many years around campfires. And,
speak
and, you
for yourself. Don't say we. I'm not in this. Okay. No. Not at all.
But we're, you know, we're being diverted from one type of graham to another.
Keep your polyfilla to yourself.
Or poly, or stucco, polystucco, that's it.
Poly, yeah, yeah. So.
But this has nothing to do with Lauren Graham, the actress who has gained fame on TV for portraying single mothers. You know, there was Sarah Braverman on the critically acclaimed NBC drama series Parenthood, which was a terrific series. And but however she will be... ever. She'll forever be associated with the role of Lorelai Gilmore on Gilmore Girls. Now, besides giving a whole new perspective on what it's like to raise children as a young single mother, Graham has approached them both, these both challenging roles, with a great deal of bravery, humor, and plenty of rapid-paced, stream-of-consciousness dialogue delivery that's become her trademark. And recently, Graham has proven she can write snappy prose just as well as she can orally deliver those words. Her first foray into the written word, the novel Someday, Someday, Maybe, was a critically acclaimed bestseller. And now she has gone the nonfiction route with her latest book called Talking As Fast As I Can. Now, the book is actually a collection of autobiographical essays that deal with different aspects of her life and career, whether it be her first substantial role as an actress, which was at a high school production. She was the lead in Hello, Dolly. Her list of previous jobs that she held before Gilmore Girls, which included as a counter girl at a restaurant, where she sold nothing but cinnamon buns, not s'mores, sorry. An usher at an off-Broadway theater and a SAT prep tutor. Her turn as a judge on Project Runway, where she coined the term T-shirty. That's right, T-shirty. And giving life advice as her alter ego, Old Lady Jackson, which when you read this chapter, it could be a book in itself.
By the way, I prefer anything like cinnamon buns over s'mores any day. Thank you.
Yes, I thank you. Well, the pecan ones are pretty good. I like those ones.
Okay.
However, fans of Gilmore Girls will not be disappointed with this book, as Lauren Graham offers two substantial chapters about the show, which take the form of behind-the-scenes diaries of her experiences with the original series and the recent reboot, which was seen on Netflix to much critical acclaim and a lot of viewers. The first set of Gilmore Girls diaries has Graham commenting not just on some of her favorite episodes, but also how her hair, clothing, and makeup differed from season to season, as well as how technology and trends were so different back then. My favorite entry comes from the one dealing with season 5, when she says, and I quote, "Also at a Friday night dinner gone wrong, Lorelai asked one of Emily's maids for a phone book so she and Rory can order a pizza," unquote. Look how far technology has come since then. All in all, the book is quite enjoyable to read, as Graham delivers his collection of essays in a very self-deprecating manner that is more realistic and genuine in approach. And as you read each essay, you can actually hear Graham recite each line of prose in her trademark breathless, rapid-fire patter that she is known for. So Lauren Graham has firmly established herself as television's favorite single mom, but with books like Talking As Fast As I Can, she has proven she can write snappy words of wisdom as well as deliver them. And, you know, while she's waiting for, I heard it maybe another series of Gilmore Girls on Netflix, she can turn this book into a solo stage show so that we can get our fix of that delightfully breathless Lauren Graham rapid patter.
Excellent. And the book is entitled?
Talking As Fast As I Can by Lauren Graham. It's published by Ballantine Books, and it's $37.
And what else do you recommend, sir, in the genre?
Well, we're talking about, memoirs by legendary women of television, especially in sitcom, I recommend After All, which was the memoir by the late Mary Tyler Moore, which was a very honest and, I wouldn't say brutal look, but a very unflinching look at her life, her career, and also some of the tragedies and hardships she faced, especially with the tragic death of her son back in 1980. And also I, Rhoda by Valerie Harper, which is a terrific behind-the-scenes look at her career. And there's a bit of poignancy to this, because by the time that this book was issued a couple of years ago, she was diagnosed with brain cancer, and she wasn't expected to survive. And she's still around, and which is great to know. And this book is very entertaining. Also, find out why she wore all those headscarves and became a fashion trend in the 70s.
And what about Tina Fey's Bossy Pants?
Yes. I agree. That's another terrific book as well. I do agree with you on that one.
That's a great book. So this week's book is, again,
Talking As Fast As I Can by Lauren Graham. It's published by Ballantine Books, and it's $37.
And speaking about s'mores, which I have no use for in life whatsoever, and sitting around the campfire, I know you have sat around the campfire many times in your life with a lot of other kids, and this is going to be taking you overseas now.
Yes, but you're absolutely right, Peter. This spring, I am, usually I travel, within the boundaries of North America, but for the first time, I'm going to be traveling outside North America with a trip called the March of the Living, which is a very reaffirming, very thought-provoking, very important trip, where we spend 1 week in Poland with teens from around the world, actually. We visit the concentration camps, and we go with Holocaust survivors, and it's very supervised, it's well-supervised. And also, after that week in Poland, we spend a week in Israel.
And we should mention the we you're talking about. It's the BBYO, correct?
Yeah, that's the delegation I'm going to be with BBYO. But there's delegations...
Which stands for?
Neighborhood Youth Organization.
Yes.
And we're just going to be, thousands of people going to be converging on both Poland and Israel this spring. And I'm just part of that delegation. It's going to be about 160, 170 people. So it's going to be quite the experience.
And I know whenever you fly, especially since you're flying a long distance, you will always be reading between the time you're in the air and waiting around in airports. So you're going to get a lot of reading done. But you're going to do some reading with the kids too, are you not?
Oh, yes. We're doing a little book club with the – because me and another staffer, there's a caravan of buses, I think, like 3 or 4 buses. And it was suggested that while we go, especially in Poland, to have a little book club. So we're going to be sending out our letters to the teens on our bus very soon. And me and Aliza, that's my co on the bus that we're going to be going on, suggested 2 books of Holocaust themes. One is called The Zookeeper's Wife, which is going to be a movie with Jessica Chastain. It's based on a book. And also Art Spiegelman's groundbreaking graphic novel, Mouse.
Sounds like a very interesting trip. When you get back, will you tell us all about it?
Certainly, Peter. There's a lot. I mean, for right now, I'm going. There's a lot of information for me to wrap my head around. But yes, I will certainly tell you about my exploits, in Poland and Israel, on a future Stuff File program, and you'll hear what it's all about.
Great. In the meantime, how can people find you, sir? Before you zip off to Poland.
Yeah, zip off to Poland. That's right. But no s'mores, no campfires. Sorry, people. You can find me in the pages of the Montreal Times in print every week. Or online at www.mtltimes.ca.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
You're welcome, Peter.
Stuart Nolman with another edition of Book Banter here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File.
And we're just about out of racetrack for this edition of the Stuff File program. I do want to mention very quickly, the show is also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And also, we'd love to have you as a patron of the program. You can help this show become bigger and better because this is listener-supported, fan-funded radio. So it depends on you for our success. Just visit patreon.com/thestufffileprogram and be part of Stuff File Nation. You'll also find that about a rewards program there too. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on the Stuff File program and even some of your ideas for the rewards. So join us at patreon.com, will you? Okay? And now, boys and girls, it is the time we've all been waiting for. It's time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. This Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
An officer in Harrington, Delaware, approached an illegally parked driver at Liberty Plaza Shopping Center in March and had suspicions aroused when she gave him a name other than Kiona Waters. When properly ID'd, she was arrested for driving with a suspended license because, you know, they always have a suspended license in these stories. Now, why were the cops' suspicions aroused when she didn't give the name Kiona Waters? Because Kiona Waters was the name on the employee tag that she was wearing at the time. Wow. Now, why? Oh, why? Would you give a fake name to a police officer while you're actually wearing a big name tag with your real name on it? One reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0397. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links and all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0397. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check us out on Patreon, where you can become a patron of the program. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, GDPR Revolution 99, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes, streaming on Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. A tape of the preceding program will be sent to the Radio Hall of Fame, where it will be placed under the statue of Marconi, which is kind of wobbly.